Eurobash 52, and I'm barely alive, but I'm here, just back from Abu Dhabi, barely awake, but very happy to see my beautiful friend, Niall McGrath. How are you, baby?
Abu Dhabi do. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm not as tired as you, but I actually am pretty tired myself. It was a slog of a weekend of fights, but an incredible weekend of mixed martial arts from Europe all the way across the United States to Abu Dhabi. It was great, but I know, I feel your pain. I see you. You look like shit. But I did miss you, and I was very jealous that you were over there during fight week. Great job, by the way. I have to say, your coverage was absolutely fantabulous. Well, brilliant stuff. Best guy on the ground there, definitely.
But, you know, a lot of that is because of Casey and Esther. I can't say enough good things about them. That's the first time I've ever worked with them before. These are legitimate OGs, legitimate greats, and to be working with them was unbelievable experience for me. Probably one of the great experiences I've ever had in my career.
Second to only being on the ground with Niall McGrath in 5 weeks.
Of course. Look, I'm so tired, I didn't want to even do anything today. But what type of man would I be if I didn't come on to our loyal bashers? The number ones. My ride or die.
Yeah.
I needed to do it.
And it had to be done.
Look, over there it was incredible, Niall. We're not going to do this usual struggle with the breaking news. Yeah, cool. I was so busy and stuff, but over there, I was saying to you earlier just when I came in, I don't know if it translated or whatever over here, but that reception was genuinely spellbinding he got over there. And I think Khabib's performance was out of this world. Like, I mean, the difference I saw, he was forcing Poirier to fight in every single situation. I felt like against McGregor did a great job of not having to fight, not making himself tired by fighting, but Khabib didn't give Dustin the option. He was wrangling his neck. He was all over him. Like, it was like he didn't give him a second. Like, Poirier was forced to defend submissions, forced to defend takedowns. It was just a really exhausting fight.
I think we're a little bit different though here on our opinions of this. And I do agree with you. It was a phenomenal, you know, start from Khabib, and he was all over him. But did Dustin maybe not show up a little bit? That's maybe the way I felt, that he you know, did he fall under the spotlights a bit and not do what maybe he wanted to do? That seemed to be what he was saying as well, maybe to some regard in the post-fight press conference.
I think you're fighting Khabib, you're going to get taken down in the first two rounds, and it's just, I think the fact that on the ground, Khabib was able to transition to brilliant positions very well because Dustin was scrambling, instead of McGregor just kind of sat there and said, listen, right, I'm going to be down here. I'm not going to make the situation worse for myself. Whereas Dustin was trying to get back up, and then he was giving up his back, and that's when the choking attempts were coming. You know, I could see what he was trying to do, but hindsight is 20/20, as he said himself in the post-fight press conference. I think Poirier is a class act. One of the best.
I agree, yeah.
One of the best fighters in that division. Like, I'd be interested to see Poirier and McGregor now. And I would probably favor Poirier in that matchup right now, to be honest. But absolutely unbelievable. Khabib is a bona fide superstar. To see the people move to him the way the Irish people did in 2014 with McGregor, like, people were getting emotional when he was just walking out. Yeah. Like, I mean, it felt like he's really amplified MMA in that part of the world. And I guess that was the intention for this whole event. But by God, man, I brought 16 t-shirts with me over there, and every one of them smells like absolute death. I was putting my socks in like bags so they wouldn't stink up my room. It was revolting, man. Like, I mean, everybody was like discussing, how are you keeping the smell out of your room?
Oh, stop.
It was.
They call in the, what do you call it, the fucking rent-a-kill for the rodent.
Oh, I just got in. I got in this morning and I just said, here, where's the washing machine? Poured everything into it, man. It was absolutely disgusting.
That was like me when I was in Vegas for Maymac. It was like it was the same temperature as like hitting 40. It's disgusting, man.
It's just drier. That's what Shaheen was saying. Shaheen Al-Shadi, who I spent a lot of time over there, it was great to be over there with him. He's from Arizona, so that's a very hot part.
Yeah.
But he's like, it's dry heat there. This is disgusting, sweaty,
moist,
wet heat. And it was fucking unlivable, man. It really was. Paul Felder in the co-main event.
Yeah, man. He
looked incredible.
What did you think of that? Now, there was a lot of talk after the fight, and I just want to say one thing before I want to get your take off it. I did have the first for Edson Barbosa by, I think it was a clear 10-9 round for me to Edson. The second, right, in my terms of watching the fight, when I was watching the fight here, I had a 10-9 for Edson in the second. And the only reason why I had that 10-9 was me not actually giving my scorecard. It was the way I perceived the judges be scoring, because Paul was landing so many elbows off his back we know that judges often don't pick up on what a guy's doing from off his back. And Paul was sensational off his back in that round.
But you gotta look at the judges and officials that was there. This is a fantastic thing for European MMA. Mark Goddard, it was Dave Letterby, Ben Cartledge, and Mark Collette. Like, I mean, the guys who came from our scene are now the main guys in the UFC. And honestly, I was looking at Mark Goddard in there, and just before that main event started, I was like, he's probably the best referee in the world at the moment.
Everybody's so inconsistent,
and he is just there. And I was like, holy shit, our guys, our officials are the best in the world. Like, they are some of the best in the world. These Cage Warriors officials basically starting there. And that's why I think, you know, you'd be looking at it going, maybe the judges won't notice this. They did notice that. Of course they did. Like, that's what they look out for.
And that's why I was very happy in the end that the round was scored for him, but I didn't think it was still very close. That way. It was very close,
like,
don't get me wrong.
I feel like immediately when it was read out, I could understand where Barbosa was coming from. But then more I think about it, I was like, every round was pretty close.
It was.
And great fight. Jesus Christ. The pace they put on for three rounds was it was insane.
And the guy tweeted after as well, like, the thing, you know, we keep talking about it. Man, that's a five-round fight if you ever want to see a five-rounder. Yeah. It would have been fabulous to see that five rounds. And I think maybe the longer it was getting, Edson was slowing down. Paul really came into what I felt in the third round, landed some really good shots, rocked him twice. He sort of, you know,
the exchanges are wild.
They were mental, man.
Like, I mean, I commend both of the guys. Like, I mean, I don't understand why, you know, Guilherme put out an article yesterday and Edson's appealing that decision, but I can understand why he feels that way. It was that close. Every round was so close. Like,
it was obviously, you know, when he walked off, and I think, you know, Paul was good enough to say in the mic, you know, clap him out and stuff like that.
What about that post fight? Like, he was...
that's an emotional guy.
That was incredible.
Like, people don't understand with Paul, and you know, it is. It's literally a 3-month weight cut for Paul. He has to starve himself to make 155 pounds.
Like, it's crazy, dude. I was speaking to Paul just after the weigh-in, because at the open workouts he didn't drop a bead of sweat, and I got worried.
He actually
explained it to me. Then he goes, "I was already that low."
Yeah,
he goes, "That's why." Like, and he was talking about you. Of course, he was saying he needs to get over to us for a while.
Yeah, no, he's gonna come over for a few drinks. But
I'm gonna set him up an itinerary of where to go in Ireland, because I think he's gonna do a
Connemara is of an area. And I've always been saying to the lads to go. And
we should get him into. I said he really liked the idea of going to a Gaelgor region where nobody can speak.
That'd
be really cool. So, look, Islam Makhachev was impressive.
Another reception was fucking crazy. He got some reception, man.
Ever since Wednesday, he was, like, walking out, and even it surprised him. On Wednesday, he walked out to the open workouts, and he was kind of angry. I feel like probably the wake-up was annoying him. And someone someone just shouted at him, like, Inshallah or whatever. And you could just see his whole face brightening up, and he's like, holy shit, this is going to be big for me, you know? And look, he was brilliant against Davy Ramos. Davy Ramos, an established grappler.
Tough dude, Davy Ramos as well. Give him props for hanging in there.
That's a question we wanted to see answered. Can he do it against these guys?
I still think we need to see more. I think we need to see more from him.
No, I agree. But I mean, what about Merbeck Toysimov?
Yeah.
I think that heat in there really affected some guys, and he was one of them.
Look at Don Madge right at the start, and broken knuckle as well. And it was a very different performance from Don. I think he fought with his limitations, and obviously he wasn't very happy with the performance. The heat was obviously, it was a massive factor.
It was incredible. Like, I mean, and the first women's fight, Sarah Morris and Liana Jojoa, I was very hot in Jojoa, but one thing Esther said to me, Esther Lynn's obviously cage side for the whole event, and probably have seen more fights than anyone in the game at this stage, Kate. So she kind of said to me, like, Liana's probably a very good fighter, but when I looked at Morass and Jojoa beside each other, she said Jojoa could be a strawweight. Like, she could literally compete at strawweight. You know,
Sarah Morass is a gritty, fighter as well. She's
fucking
tough,
hilarious,
man.
As well.
She's tough.
She's hilarious, man. She was so funny all week.
She had too much cheesecakes.
What about Lerone Murphy?
Draw.
He comes out, tells a story. I think he was a bit reluctant to tell Nick Pete. Nick Pete and Fight Disciples were the first to get it. I think it was on BT Sport about him being shot in the face. And then he had to, of course, tell the story all day. But to go in there and get a draw against Tokhogov, who this event was really primed for as well, is absolutely unbelievable. I'm really, really glad that he came away with something, because stepping in to face a guy in your debut who is well known, who's big in that part of the world, I think he did brilliantly.
He's sort of Brendan Loughnan, sort of student prodigy. Is that the way it's working there? Like, Brendan's done a lot of, sort of been a bit of a mentor to him.
Yeah, and he'd be a good friend of Dominic Cruz as well.
Yeah,
Murphy would,
right.
like, and I haven't seen it yet, but everyone keeps telling me about Kane Musa in his corner switching out like in the last round before the last round. He's meant to go mental, and I can't wait to watch it.
Kane's a nut job, that fella.
Yeah, he's a legend. But great knockouts from Azatar and Salakoff. I knew Salakoff was going to
savage. That was
like, he just hasn't had a good matchup, like a striking matchup where he could show them skills. And I knew Nordin Talib was going to stand with him, so I think that was very good. But yeah, we're kind of running through this card a bit, I know, but you know, and everyone's saying MMA fighting's dead. What about those numbers, bitches?
Yeah, well done.
We are there.
You were brilliant.
Ain't nothing dead. We're still alive.
You worked your ass. Did you get a point anywhere, by the way? You must.
Oh, yeah, I don't drink. Anywhere. I don't drink. No, you know, no way. I'm an older professional when I'm away. No comment.
My arse. You got in a few, so. listen, but it's one of those cards, PT, where I think you're just going to... It's one of the ones that highlight of the year. I think you're going to remember just the whole buzz around here all week. And
like Casey's been to 130 pay-per-views, and he turned around to me yesterday and he goes, I'm just really glad I was here for that. You know, yeah. I was just really glad to see.
Well, that's why, like I said to you all week, I was texting you all week, raging. I was literally.
You knew, you knew something big was going to happen.
I sat here for 3 fucking days, really, just with a grump on my face, where you're sitting now, and I was texting you pictures and me going, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, I got about 7 selfies a day.
Oh, you're missing nothing, Niall. And then I go to his Instagram and he's there.
But, you know, look, we were talking about this before we went on. We need to hammer it down. It's got to be Tony. It's got to be
Listen,
Tony.
I've been a big advocate for Tony Ferguson getting a title shot about 2 years ago and he still hasn't got one. It's bullshit, man. It has to happen now or never. Forget the McGregor rematch talk. It's bollocks.
Hey, have you ever seen a more negative reaction? I mean, I know it got lots of traction,
he got slammed.
He got slammed. And you know, I think if that fight was happening again, with what I saw from Khabib the other night and what we saw of McGregor the last time out, like, the thing about the first fight is there was mystery there. Khabib was probably expecting the McGregor who fought Alvarez. Now he's been in there with him. I think, based on what I saw Khabib do to Poirier and how much better he looked there, I think it would last very... I think it might last 2 rounds.
Well, like, the question now is, right, and this is the interesting thing in terms of Conor McGregor, and, you know, let's just say Khabib and Ferguson is going to happen in December. You know, what way do we look at it in terms of...
Khabib and Tony in December, though? Like, on the Amanda Nunes card? Like, which one?
Well, there's a spot on the 14th of December, so a little bit earlier.
That's the Nunes card, the 14th one,
Well, we don't have to put, you know, main co. I don't know, right? But that's what Tony Ferguson wants. That's what he said today. He's come out and said he wants December cards.
3 month turnaround?
Yeah, like...
Yeah. I know, in a perfect world, but I mean, Khabib's a bona fide superstar now. I'd say he got a lot of money there.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of money. Like, what's the point for him rushing back for 3 months for what is essentially the toughest fight he can possibly have?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, maybe they might put out, you know, a little bit longer. But in terms of, you know, we've Gaethje and Cowboy this weekend, and then we saw the shit in line with Gaethje and McGregor. What, you know, where is McGregor in this division now? I don't know.
He needs to do something.
And
here's the other thing that nobody's factoring in. And people are like,
is it Paul Felder? Is it someone like that? Like, what do you do?
I don't know. But like, the thing is, everybody, once again, is suddenly expecting McGregor. Like, people who are talking about him seem to be expecting McGregor Alvarez again. And you're just like, he just broke his left hand. He broke his biggest weapon. Yeah. It's broken.
Yeah.
So, like, do you think that's going to be even better now for some reason? Absolutely not. Like, I mean, that's a serious injury. He's not the same age as he was at the top of his career. When he's explosive, when he's relying on athleticism. You can't rely on your athleticism after 30. You really can't.
I know, I agree. Yeah. Sure, well, I'm the exception, but...
Of course, Niall. I mean, stop rubbing it in my face all the time.
But... I agree with you. I'm just intrigued now. You know, you sort of forgot after Justin Gaethje came out with those tweets and those Instagram posts as well, you know, shitting on Conor McGregor that he was fighting Cowboy this weekend.
Well, look, McGregor needs to fight. He's becoming irrelevant apart from these tweets. And you saw how slammed he was. Like, he got absolutely slammed. Like, we were going through the reactions to it, and like, it took me about 5 minutes to find a positive one.
It's crazy. I just quoted the tweet and said Jesus, because it's just not happening. Like, and you know, interesting. John Kavanagh did actually tweet. I don't know if so. He replied to one of Ariel's comments when the news of obviously Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz was confirmed. That
what did
see you there, winky face. So I don't know what that means.
Does John even know what that means?
Probably not.
But
it was just interesting.
Yeah. Well, maybe, who knows?
About that though? Before we get to the interview. Diaz Masvidal.
It's unimportant to European MMA. What do you mean? Such a, I don't like the belt thing. I mean,
get the fuck out of here. No, I hate it.
Can we just, okay, The thing is, right, I'm surrounded by Casey, Shaheen, all these guys, Esther, who've been around the sport for a long, long time, and they just think it's fun and blah, 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 but they are not, like, but we're wearing a different pair of gloves with this, right? Because the sport is in a different place in this part of the world, and I was like, that will just be used as ammunition against us.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
are we going to have a bad... I know Dana, I'm actually quite happy that Dana said we're not going to have a division here because that would just be absolutely wild. But the fact that we're making this belt, and look, that's fine if the sport was in a serious place over here. We've seen boxing deal with the Mayan belt. We've seen boxing have the money belt. That's fine if it was a legitimate sport and everybody knew it was.
Yeah, it's bollocks.
It still isn't here. And
so but, that's what's about to go on a rant for you. Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And who was this that said to me? I believe it was Oscar Willis of the MacLife. He said to me, it's two of the only guys, the least gimmicky guys in the UFC. The two just two natural, just captivating dudes, Jorge Masvidal,
and they want to do stupid belts.
And you're going to make it a gimmick. And I don't look. I'm not fond of it. Maybe if the sport was in a different place over here, I'd like it. But I just don't like it.
Well, that's the rant I was about to go on. So you've just cleared it for me there.
Okay, but well, look, we get on with the first interview of the day. It's the KSW heavyweight champion, Phil DeFries, who will put his title on the line against Luis Enrique this weekend in London. Got some really good stuff from Phil about fighting potential fights with Ryan Bader and Matt Mitrione if Bellator were to do stuff with KSW. And he also even shed further light on his issues with anxiety and alcoholism and stuff like that. So we'll get on to Phil and we'll be back to you guys in about 15 minutes. Always a pleasure to speak to one of the Eurobash favourites. And now we are joined by one of the stars of Eurobash, a man that everybody always wants to hear from. It is KSW heavyweight champion Phil DeFries, who takes on Luis Enrique at KSW 50 this weekend. In the main event, of course. Phil, you were in Amsterdam on your way over to the event, I believe. How are you? And tell me where you're coming from, first of all.
Oh, I'm great. I've just been over to Poland to do a bit, do some press and stuff. I've just got back from America on Saturday now, so I'm like double jet lagged. Had a bad flight last night and everything, so I'm feeling a bit down, but I'm feeling good for the flight. A few days off, I'll be raring to go.
Yeah, I saw you were over in ATT, right? Like, is this more time that you've spent in ATT ahead of a fight previously? It seemed like you had a big presence over there. Maybe I have it wrong, but it seems like this is a big commitment you made to that camp ahead of this one.
Yeah, I mean, I always go for 5 weeks. It was 5 weeks again, but it's been a tough 5 weeks, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, we know that you were initially meant to fight Grabowski. I can remember when I spoke to you initially about that, you were quite excited about it. Was that a bit of a blow? Did you fear that they wouldn't be able to replace him ahead of this one at all?
No, I'm pretty confident in their ability to rematch fighters. You know, they have a small card. And each fight's in Portland, you know, so it was like 4 weeks out when we found out, and Lewis took it on 3 weeks out, you know, so I thought they'd match it, you know, I thought they'd get somebody.
You know, Luis, like, I mean, how happy are you that he's stepped up? I mean, I think he shocked a lot of people with his debut against Michael in his first one. Were you surprised by that as well?
Oh, yeah, he was a huge underdog, you know, I thought he was going to get stuffed, you know, but... Like, he took advantage, like, Andershak's got a bit of a gas tank problem, you know, very, very dangerous fighter. But in the second, he gassed out, you know, but I don't think Lewis is far behind him, you know, so we'll see how his gas lasts on Saturday.
I mean, what does it mean for you now, Phil, like, headlining these events? It feels really big. The momentum you've picked up in KSW is absolutely unbelievable. Are these special events for you? Because they seem like they're getting more and more special. You're getting more and more hype every time one of these things comes around.
Yeah, I mean, my brand's definitely growing out here, you know. I get like, a lot more interviews and a lot more questions in the interviews, a lot more fan response, you know. So it's good, you know, and they're building me well. You know, the promotion for this one was excellent. So I can't complain, you know. We'll see how it goes on Saturday, you know.
Is it a new kind of pressure when you're coming home and defending the title? Does it feel different than when it's in Poland?
Nah, you know, when I'm in there, I couldn't care less. Where it is, you know what I mean? That door's locked. You might as well be on the moon, you know. I couldn't care less. But I mean, I couldn't care less where it is, you know.
I mean, it's weird, right? Because we know your story, how you fought back from adversity and you find yourself on top of the game in Europe. Like, I mean, was there ever a time where you thought maybe these headline spots, these huge events, you know, they weren't in your future? I know you had some anxiety issues and stuff like that. Like, I mean, it feels like you've really climbed to the top of the mountain now. Was there ever a time where you were like, this won't happen for me?
Oh, well, like I said, the period when I lost a couple of fights and I lost to, like, an unranked opponent, it was meant to be kind of like a step over guy for me. And I kind of hit the bottle for, like, 6 months. I was, like, pretty much an alcoholic, you know. With a bit of, he's just not weird every night as well, like, alcoholic drug addict. And I was, like, totally friends, you know, saying, oh, I could have been this, I could have been that. Because in the gym, I always performed, you know. Like, I was kicking people's ass in the gym. They were, like, top UFC contenders, you know. So I thought, why aren't you doing this when you fight, you know? So I honestly thought I was totally done. Then when my girlfriend got pregnant, I thought, you know, I'm going to there's something wrong with you here, you know. So I got the anxiety sorted. And I thought, you know what, there's cash out here for you, Phil. You know, you've got to go out and try and get some cash, try and make, like, a good life for your family, you know. So, yeah, but there was a period when I thought, this is done, you know. I thought, I'm done with this, I hate it, you know. But luckily, I kind of switched it back on, you know.
That's incredible. So you were, like, I mean, you said there you were hitting the bottle pretty hard. Did you find that
all? I was still working full-time during the day. And for about 6 months, I would get, like, a bottle of wine, like, six cans or, like, half a bottle of whiskey every night. My mate, like, got loads of weed, you know. And I have the cues everything now, but it definitely made me 10 times worse. So, like, I was, like, drinking heavily every night. Then my mates would have fights. So I would get up in the morning, I would brush my teeth, go do the rounds with them, help them get ready for their fight, then brush my teeth again so I didn't stink a drink, go to work. Wow. Like, luckily, Boston, I didn't realise how hard I was hit. I'd get home about 5 o'clock, hit the bottle again, you know, good times. But, like, at the time, it was like helping the issues with the depression, the anxiety. But in reality, it was making us 10 times worse, you know. It kind of spiraled down. But honestly, like a month after it happened, when I got the treatment and I'd stopped drinking and I was back at the gym and stuff, I was like, my girlfriend, I was like, was I an alcoholic for a bit there? Just like, you were definitely an alcoholic for quite a while there.
Was it just that you were functioning so well, like the way you were saying, you were brushing your teeth, I'd say you could be around people, because you're such a big guy as well, I'd say you're well able to handle drink as well. Were you kind of one of these guys that was just a functioning kind of alcoholic and nobody would have really known?
Oh, no, like, funnily enough, like, my day job, I work, like, I'm a drugs and, like, alcohol counsellor, you know, that's what I do for my living, you know. Yeah. And the people I was working with didn't have any idea what I was doing, you know, but it was definitely bad times. It definitely, like, made my head a lot worse, but I don't know. So, I don't know, just one of those things, you know, kind of something to do, hit the bottom, isn't it, you know. I'm glad that was my rock bottom, you know, and I've come back from it.
Are you still doing that now? Are you still a counsellor now, or is it just full-time fighting?
Yeah,
now?
I've had two children now, and in England you can transfer the maternity leave over, so I've been off for like 2.5 years and only been back for 3 months. But I'm back to work the Monday after the fight. I've got my shift for 2 days a week, but I like to work, you know. I like to work. I like the security of it. I like money going in my bank account every month, you know. It's a great job, you know. They're like really, really, really good company to work for. They look after you and stuff, you know. The company, they offer you, like, if you have mental health issues, they pay for like 10 sessions to go and see a counsellor. So when I got the medication, then I went, then they paid me to see a counsellor for like 10 sessions. You know, like, I owe that company a lot, you know. I really love working for them.
That experience will probably help you in your job, though, right? The fact that you can put yourself in these people's shoes, like, you were there yourself, like, that would only make you better at the job, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I love the job, you know. You get a lot of, like, satisfaction dealing with these people, you know. Like, a lot of them are, like, I mean, a lot of them, like, you would say, oh, these people are scumbags, you know. But, like, you haven't got a chance to be a scumbag when you've had the upbringing that these people have had, you know. Like, that's how they've learned to survive, you know. And, like, so you've got to kind of put yourself out there and help these people, you know, and they can turn around, you know, like that. And
yeah, I mean, I always see that. It seems to me like when you're at home and you're not training, you're with your kids, you seem to love spending time with your kids, and they just seem to worship you.
It's all about the kids now, all about the kids, everything I do, really.
What do they think you do for a living? Like, do they understand that you're the champion? Do they understand that you are a badass, essentially? Do they know what you do for a living?
Nah, one of them's almost three, and maybe she gets a drift of it, but I kind of like to keep it set. But I mean, I wouldn't have them at the events or anything, you know. I don't know. It'd be like, I don't know. But I'll tell them, you know. Sometimes I put me interviews. I'm like, oh, look, my dad's on the television and stuff. I like it, you know. But I'll tell them one day. But I don't think I'd get them heavily involved. But I definitely wouldn't push them to get involved in the sport. But if they wanted to, that'd be great, you know.
Can you ever imagine bringing them to see you fight? Would you like that? Do you ever see that on TV? Like sometimes, you know, you see Daniel Cormier bringing his kids, or is that something you, as you said, you'd like to keep separate?
No, I don't think I'd like them there. You know, I'll worry about them. You know, I wouldn't be worrying about fighting the guy. I'd be worrying about their feelings and like, oh, what if they like don't like it and stuff? I would stress about it. You know, so. Well, I mean, like when they're old enough to go by themselves, I'll be long retired, you know. But they could watch on the telly and stuff. But I wouldn't like bring them in or get them in the cage or anything, you know. That's not for me. That. But I mean, it's great that other people do it, you know. But it's not for me.
It's incredible. Like every time I speak to you, I feel like I learn something new about you that makes it even more exceptional. When you consider where you are now, like, are you proud of yourself? Like you should be. Like, I really feel like you should. Like, are you proud of where you've basically come from, rock bottom to the champion of the world? It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's great that there is the help out there and stuff, you know. If it wasn't for the doctor and stuff, I wouldn't have turned this around, you know. And like a lot of like the campaign for mental health, I didn't even realize I had a mental health problem. I thought I was just this was me, I was this person. I didn't even know what anxiety was until like campaign stuff that educated me. But yeah, I'm proud of myself, you know. Like, just it's made me a better father, you know. Like, I told you about how I'm like go and check the door like 20 times and stuff, and like worrying about like leaving the dog out at home and coming home. Like, I was like pretty much a like quite insane person. Like, now that like obviously I'm a better dad, but I'm not totally insane, you know.
Yeah, and like, did you feel like that? Was the anxiety a separate thing to the alcoholism? Do you think? Like, I mean, was that two different things you had to deal with separately, or was it all just one big complex situation?
I definitely drank to help with the anxiety. When I was drunk, I didn't really feel anxious. You know, you kind of feel a little bit merry and stuff. I enjoy being drunk on the night. It was just in the morning when you feel like crap, you know. Mm. Like during the day, then just horrible, you know. But like, I definitely drank because of the alcohol and that. I definitely think I was probably depressed for a while too.
You know, I think it's obvious that KSW will probably try to attempt to make the Grabowski fight again if this goes according to plan and you come away with your hand raised from KSW 50. But a lot of people seem to be talking about Bellator and KSW. And I honestly think that, you know, Czech Congo and Ryan Bader just fought to a no contest last weekend. But I feel like a fight between KSW champion Phil DeFries and Bellator heavyweight champion Ryan Bader would be way bigger than anything they can really put on. And I know that isn't the fight that's ahead of you now, but I mean, would something like that appeal to you? And we know that Bellator are putting on shows in Europe now. We know that they're trying to make a big imprint here. Like, if something was to land on your desk like that, would that really appeal to you? Because I feel like you're in the best form of your life, and I don't think Bader has a challenger of your kind of cloth out there for him to challenge at the moment, you know?
Oh, yeah, I would be 100% invested in either that or Ryzen, you know. But, I mean, there's a lot of cogs, you know. I think, like, what Bellator will do with Ryzen, they do, like, a champion versus champion fight, so I think they'd have to get Bader to fight for the KSW belt, then me challenge for that belt straight afterwards. So I don't know the logistics of it, but I'd be definitely up for cross-promotion fights. I mean, Mick Leone called me out, you know, he said he'd like to fight me again, you know, so a few weeks ago before he got beat off Kamatanov. So I'd definitely be interested in cross-promotional fights, you know.
Do you think they realise how different you are now? Because it just looks like a different guy in there. I mean, you're kind of breezing through these guys. It's really exceptional to watch. Like, Narkoon's one of the best prospects. Like, he was considered one of the best prospects in Europe, and you just breezed through him. It didn't even seem like, you know, it was that all that difficult for you.
I mean, like I said, like years ago in the gym, I was fighting people like this, and I was performing fantastically, you know. So I knew what was in us. So Yeah, I'm definitely on a roll.
You know, just finally, just tell me about Luis. Like, how do you feel like you stack up against him? Like, I feel like you're going to have a big size advantage again here.
Yeah, I think I'm about 20 pounds. I'm heavy at the moment. I'm a lot heavier than my last fight. I really took care of my nutrition a bit better this camp and kind of ate. Like, I wasn't eating the last time. I'm like too well looked after at home, so I've been like making sure I was getting fed. But I don't think he likes striking very much at all. I think he's in a rush to get grappling. And I also think I'm a better grappler than him, and I think the condition will be better. You know, he's definitely a good fighter. He's not to be slept on. But I think I'll definitely get the job done within the distance.
You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, when you first re-emerged, I felt like maybe people were looking at you like, that's old Phil DeFries. Do you feel like, you know, fighters now have a newfound respect for you? They realise that you are one of the best heavyweights in the world?
Yeah, I mean, like, my rank has increased fantastically, you know, like, I used to hate it, you could tell, I never used to like it, you know, I don't know, honestly, I don't know why I did it, you know, probably peer pressure or something, But like my record dictated, my rank dictated from my attitude, you know, and like even interviews and stuff, I can talk and have a bit of a crack now.
Brilliant. You're one of the best interviews in the world, man. It's incredible. I genuinely mean that. From the first time I talked to you, every time I speak to you, I'm blown away by what you tell me. Honestly, you're a real open book, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you got to tell the truth, you know. Honesty is the best policy, isn't it?
I think that's why people relate to you as well, though, because not only are you doing so well in the cage, you're just this really relatable person, right? You're not trying to be someone that you aren't.
Well, there's no point. Like, I mean, like, it's like cringy when you see like people putting on the Conor McGregor act and stuff, you know. You've got to be yourself, you know. You'll be true to yourself, otherwise you're still negative, don't you?
So we're not going to see you in a three-piece suit anytime soon selling us a bottle of whiskey now or anything like that?
Whiskey? I haven't even tried it yet, so it's good.
No comment.
I do like whiskey, actually. I do like whiskey, but I don't know. I don't know about this Conor thing. You know, I don't know if he's a good dude or not. You know, I don't think I could enjoy him getting money off me if he wasn't a good dude, you know.
That's very true. That's very true. Just finally, Phil, you know, when you look at this card, it's absolutely stacked. There's four title fights on it. Is there anyone there? Like, I'm a huge Roberto Saldich fan. I love watching him fight. But is there anything else on this card that's really sticking out to you that you're really looking forward to?
I mean, I always love to watch Norman fight. You know, he's great. And I like Dricus as well. Dricus will be good at middleweight. Maybe he's a good
fight. That's right. He's back,
fight,
right?
Between him and Scott, you know. But, I mean, they almost had Saldich versus Sendex. You know, they were going to try and match it up, you know, I think. But it didn't come to fruition.
That would have been insane. You know,
yeah, they're trying to work on that, you know. But, yeah, Saldich's always going to watch. I think he'll beat this kid, you know.
That's a good sign, though, right? Because I did hear about that as well. They were trying to do Daly and Saldich. So, I mean, that is a good sign in terms of you, if they want to put you against a Mitrione or a Bader. Like, that looks good, right? That there is a relationship there. There's something to build on.
Oh, I mean, it's great. It's got to get everything working for everybody, you know. It's like, nobody, like, I think it would have to be, like, a champ versus champ thing. It's like, what if, like, I mean, I personally think Saldich would beat Daly. I do think he would beat him. What if he came over and won, then he had the belt, then he left, and there was, like, it was, like, decreased the stock of KSW. Same with the other way around, you know. So, I don't know. It must be a lot of moving parts to get something like this working, you know. But I'm up for it, you know. We'll do it, you know.
Well, that's all I got for you, Phil. I can't wait to see you fight again. Again, watching how your career has turned around and how you've become one of the great heavyweights in the world is absolutely amazing. And I hope the success continues, my friend. And I can't wait to
too,
see this fight.
Me too. Thank you. My girlfriend wants a new house, you know, so that's to keep continuing.
All right, Phil. All the best, mate. I hope the flight is easy and the fight week goes well.
Great, man. Thanks, Tony. Lovely speaking, man. Okay, I'll see you later.
Bye-bye. I never get tired of talking to Phil DeFries, man. What an interesting guy. What a great ambassador for the sport and how he's turned his life around, man. It's like a Tyson Fury nearly, man. It's unbelievable. The more I talk to him about how low he was in them points, the more impressed I am with him, man. What a resurgence that man has had in his career. Now, I have not been able to catch up with any of the fights, right? So I moved out of my apartment the day before I went to Abu Dhabi because we're trying to save up for a mortgage or whatever. I get back to my parents' house today to start a year-long mortgage quest, which should be painful. And the internet doesn't work in the house. Can't watch Cage Warriors, can't watch Bellator. You can imagine, Niall, I have a short fuse a lot of the time. But
yeah, you were grumpy Petey today, and I don't blame you.
After 2 days of not sleeping and getting back to that, I was pretty bad. It was probably a bad introduction to Peter back into the family home, we'll say. But what can you do? But lucky enough, Aaron Noel McGrath loves him some MMA. He loves him some MMA. And he's got
our
back.
I don't fucking love it today because I watched too much of the weekend. It was a fucking slog. I watched Cage Warriors on Friday night. You listen, fantastic card. I can't say enough good things about Cage Warriors.
We'll get to that now in a second.
And Bellator then. Today.
And obviously, you went to
the fight. Yeah, exactly. Jesus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a heavy weekend of work for both of us, but in different time zones and in different ways, I guess. But tell me first of all, how did Unplugged go? How did it look? Did it feel good?
Brilliant. Right from the get go, really impressive production again from BT Sport and Cage Warriors on what they did. It looked great. Great advertisement from the sport, and you know, the guys in commentary as well, Argo buddy, Brad Wharton.
He had a brilliant night, man.
Unbelievable.
I heard he was, like, particularly amazing.
So on point, as he always is. Yeah.
Josh and him are just two animals, man. Yeah. They really are. Like,
yeah.
But I hear like the amount of praise I was seeing online for them, I was like, this is great, man. They deserve that, you know? Those guys have...
I'd love to see Brad in the UFC someday. Yeah. Just on the mic. And I've said this for a long time.
Unbelievable.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's just the passion comes through, the knowledge, the panache. Absolutely fantastic. And I think the card actually, to be honest, Jermaine, it's surpassed my expectations.
I was dying to watch it. That's why I'm so pissed
off. I was dying when I was watching it with a hangover. So I was badly hungover. Right. But I'll tell you what, man. Right from the get-go, and listen, we didn't even predict that, Petey.
No, Cartwright came out of nowhere, the winner of
this. It was just crazy, the power that kid has in his hands, man.
Insane. A lot of people were telling me, though, I was sleeping on him because I thought that was a tough first-round draw against
Fancy
Scott Malone, yeah.
And then he just plants him up. And I was like, I was just there, what? I was just going, what? Is this it? And then that little beautiful rat's tail he has, it was just like...
What was Kovacevic and Reed like? Was that a good fight?
Yeah, listen, man, all the fights were really, really good.
Kovacevic and Malone would have been my front runner. I mean, sorry, Reed and Malone would have been my front runner there.
And the thing, obviously, about Cartwright's win is because it came after, like, what, 40 seconds or something. It was really, really early on in the fight.
49 seconds.
Yeah. Kovacevic Reed obviously went the distance. That was an immediate advantage for Cartwright because he literally was like two shots and the fight was fecking over.
I can't believe I haven't seen this.
It was so good, so impressive from Cartwright. The guy just looks like a stone cold killer, and the guy's in SBG Manchester. Actually, Jonathan Schrager was texting me during the fight, and he was going, Saul Rogers was telling him about this guy going into it, how good he is, watch out for him and stuff like that. And man, the guy went in, and in the final, like, it was just obviously the main event. Even we'll talk about the other fights in a second.
I'm pissed off listening to you. I want to hear.
Did it again. Just did it again. And you were just like, this guy was making his Cage Wars debut.
Yeah.
Unplugged, one of their biggest shows of the year. It's a fucking rags to riches story, fairy tale story. Watch out for that right hand, man. I'm telling you.
Can I ask you about another debut? Because it was Mr. Paul Hughes. I'm so glad to see him in Cage Wars. He wanted to be in Cage Wars for so long.
So bad.
And I believe it was a resounding debut. Tell me about him.
Unbelievable. And I tell you what.
Unbelievable.
The thing I was most impressed about, and I said this to you off air a few minutes ago, I said, the kicks that Paul took in the early stages of that round, obviously he got the finish in the first round, but he took a lot of really hard leg kicks that sort of put him off guard. But he adjusted so well, he brought the fight to where he was comfortable. Bit of dirty boxing up against the cage, grappling up against the cage, and he took him down because he knew he was in trouble against the bigger guy.
So well-rounded, isn't he?
So clever, great fight IQ, and got the choke. A debut, I'll tell you what,
a good time to make a debut as a bantamweight with that situation going on. But why was he fighting 164 kilos?
Because
sorry, 164 pounds.
It was obviously a late addition to the card. So that's why the weight class.
That's incredible. Like 30 pounds heavier than his fight weight. Like
that's what I mean. And to go out and do that and to adjust as well and use the IQ, as I was saying, he realized straight away this guy's a lot bigger on the feet. It's going to give me problems. Took it to where he thought he could win the fight. Excellent IQ from him.
What about my boy?
Cage Warriors, just say, if people haven't heard, they signed him to a 5-fight contract directly after that fight.
And let's talk about Ian Garry, the man that everybody's talking about in Irish MMA.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I saw the finish, all right, incredible, but I was dying to watch the fights. I just couldn't. And it was a good one for him again. Yeah,
really good performance.
I already got like a good smack in the nose at the start. He had to come back.
Like, he was taking a few digs in that round, but... Really,
this is Tom Ahrens he's going in against. This fella's, not Tom Ahrens. You got a Seglia or something?
Yeah, Seglia. But Seglia was tough, dude. Man, the guy was no mug. This guy gave Ian Garry a few hard shots as well, a few hard leg kicks, a little bit of a test. And then ultimately got that question mark kick. It sort of grazed off the side of his chin.
Lovely.
And then he followed in with a knee, I think, sort of just missed the knee, but you could tell straight away. People were saying it was a bad stoppage.
I didn't think it was a bad corner.
It was a perfect stoppage. Yeah. It was a really good stoppage. His corner were going insane. I was like, lads, come on. Your fighter's on the ground. He's curled up. He's not fighting back. Yeah. Fight's over. Really good stoppage. And I'm really, really just happy with Cage Warriors, and especially what Graham Boylan said afterwards as well, that we're going to rebuild mixed martial arts scene in Ireland. Oh. It was a definite statement from Boylan. And he said, Rhys McKee's going to be on the card. Garry, he said...
Hughes.
Hughes is going to be on it. He said McColgan's going to be on it. All their top
James Webb.
Irish. Yeah, well, James
Andy
Webb.
Townsend.
You'd imagine so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But, you know,
that'll be a,
in Ian Garry's corner as well. Royalty, you know, you've Cage Warriors legends there and Kyle Pendred and, you know, Chris Fields and
Savage.
And James Webb was there in his corner as well. So
it didn't go well.
Class
for,
to see.
I'm just saying, it didn't go well for Craig White. Again.
No. Oh. Absolutely insane performance from Lewis Glisman.
He's very good, man. That's a tough fight. Like,
That's worked with Marco Madsen, who he'd on the show last week or the week before, I think it was. Unbelievable stuff.
That was
him,
like,
man.
3 months ago we had him on.
Was it 3 months ago? There you go. Like, MMA has just got my
oh, sorry, Marco Madsen. You're right. I was thinking of Mads Burnell. Sorry, my bad.
He was talking about Mads Burnell. He's trained with all these guys, and he's just looked so well-rounded.
It's just a time there to
the wrestling. It's just like, what is going on there? What are they feeding these kids? But Craig White will
tough
be very disappointed in his performance again. It didn't last too long, the fight either, and... you know, it was a verbal submission as well, Petey. So, disappointing one for Craig. Glisman does look the shit, though. I have to say, I'm very, very excited to see what's next for him.
Joe McColgan and Mehdi Ben Lakhdar, man.
What a fight.
I saw the last round of it. And
Is Joe ever in an unexciting fight? Ever?
He's a savage. He's an animal.
Man, that guy, I was texting him on Sunday.
But Mehdi Ben Lakhdar is an animal too, man. Yeah. I was like, both these guys
these
are
guys,
savages.
Like, no one, it was fair in the end. Joe will feel as though it got away. And I was texting him
just
on
the last round, yeah.
The last round, he got his nose
That's what I was looking at. I was like, that's always, it changes your gas tank. It changes everything once that happens. You know what I mean?
The resolve from Joe McColgan to hang in there. He was getting absolutely pummeled at one point.
Yeah.
And to hang in there and stay in just shows you what a tough, tough, gutsy,
posh,
resolute, posh, fat-headed contender Joe McColgan is, man.
It's all about the curls, man.
It
tough
was
guys.
Impressive.
If you have curls, you're tough.
I think it was one of those weekends, just in general, the weekend of mixed martial arts, it was one of those ones where... there was a lot of feel-good stories, and I think Joe's is one of them as well, to hang on in there and get a draw after, you know, being so good in the first two rounds. It was...
would you call it...
It was brilliant. It was
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't
Joe
McColgan. Stop Believing.
Hold on to those curls.
But really good fight, and I am interested to see as well, obviously, what Joe said after the fight, if that's going to come to fruition. You know,
oh,
calling
out Paddy Pimblett, didn't
Paddy Pimblett again.
Look, make the fight. Yeah. He's wanted him for ages, but exactly. I will say... I don't want Paddy rushing back. I really don't want him rushing back. Yeah. His hand is in a bad way.
Yeah, it is in a bad way.
Like, he was very honest with me ahead of that submission thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think it's going to be 2020 before we see Paddy at least.
Yeah, I think so. You know, from what you've said to me and you know, Paddy did. I tweeted out and Paddy can retweet. So the heat, there is a bit of heat there already, and there's been heat for a while.
People make out that Paddy isn't game, man. He's one of the gamest motherfuckers in the game.
He is. He's like, just been very unfortunate
with
injuries.
He's fought injured, like, so injured. Yeah. Like, yeah, where his team are like, stop, and he just won't. Yeah. Like, no, these people are like,
listen,
team.
I can understand why Joe's, you know,
oh, yeah.
No. Like, that's part
I
of the game.
I would love that fight. Yeah. I would love that fight.
Yeah.
I've said it for a long time, but Jack Cartwright, as you said, he went on to win the main event against Kovacevic.
What a story.
Last two guys who held that title went to the UFC. Do you think he looks like a contender? Like he got
well,
good?
I think because he made such short work of them. You don't know what... it's actually pretty hard to gauge because he went in and just bombed. Like,
you need someone to give him a hard time.
Yeah, you need someone to give him a hard time and see what is, you know, if he can come back through adversity and stuff like that. But like on first looks, holy fuck, we've got a guy who's right in the fast path to the UFC, yeah.
Listening to you talk about this is making me even more angry about not seeing
it. Man,
I've tried.
Anyone who hasn't... Jesus. No, I know. But anyone who hasn't watched it, do go check that back out in UFC Fight Pass.
Killing me, man.
It was
like,
phenomenal.
You know, like the guys that are on that card, like I've covered them pretty a long, long time. Yeah. And all these guys like Gary and
Joe and
pissed me off not be able to see it, man. It would fucking upset me. Like. Yeah.
So I was on to, like, as I said, I was on to Joe the next day, and he's game to go down and fight in Cork, and you know, Reese McKee. I was on to Reese as well. Reese was asking me for live updates. He couldn't fucking get the card up, so I was doing commentary to Reese and on Joe's fight and a couple of the other fights. So yeah, listen, you know, hopefully everything goes off. We said this a couple of weeks ago, without a hitch.
Can't
for
wait.
Cage Warriors. I'll be down in Cork. I hate Cork. I hate people from
I
Munster.
Love Cork.
But shut up, Petey. Get
it's
out of my house.
It's a savage city.
Get
man.
Out.
Do you really not like Cork?
I hate people from Munster.
Oh yeah, because they're rugby. Yeah,
I'm only messing. No, listen, I like Cork.
It's a savage city, man.
But I'm very much looking forward to that, and I think it will be amazing to see Cage Warriors put on a badly needed show there and for it all go off without a hitch. So Unbelievable night from Cage Warriors. Super pumped after. Let's talk the weekend nicely. Jesus.
Let's have a look at the Bellator. Will you stop?
Sorry.
Let's look at the Bellator 226 card. There was some huge wins for the Europeans in that featherweight tournament. I only saw the finishes, but holy shit, man. Adam Boric is an animal. He is an absolute savage. Pedro Carvalho is a savage. Oh my God, man. We're going to take that tournament. It's coming home to Europe. I feel it.
I tell you what, man. I wouldn't bet past Pedro Carvalho after that performance. That
he's so well-rounded.
Man, he's so good. So good. Even early on, he was switching up his stances and he was throwing knees and body. He landed one massive body kick in Cecilia. Cecilia did take him down twice in the first round, but looked so comfortable off his back. And obviously in that second round, then got the face crank in on Sam Cecilia for the victory. Yeah, Sam, as we said, was a little bit reckless, but that's what you're going to get. And it is that pressure that's
that
sort of,
a test. It's
that
a
puts
unique
you off.
Test.
It is a test. Like, Sam's a bloody good fighter, man. But Pedro was very cool, calm, calculated, and ultimately he got the job done. This guy is going places, dude.
You weren't happy with that main event?
Absolute garbage. You know, Chet Congo, come on. He's 5 years past his sell-by date. Ryan Bader, it looked like he sort of grabbed his nose. And it was the uppercut, actually about 10 seconds beforehand, that did the damage on his eye, as far as I was concerned. So I'm not sure why Mike Beltran jumped in. For me, it should have been to stop the fight. Because it looked like he punched him, then the eye obviously swelled up. About 10 seconds later, the eye started closing, and then Czech pointed towards his eye, and that was ultimately the way he viewed it. It ended in a fucking no contest. Clearly, his eye was injured, but again, you know, I'm not for these main events when you've guys like what we've seen on the undercard there lighted up.
Let's get KSW champ Phil DeFries in there against Brader next. If he gets through, of course, Luis Enrique. Because, look, he's clearing out his division at KSW. Brader's obviously clearing out his division if he's fighting Czech Congo. Come on. Mm. Also, just want to note that on the undercard, Ashley Grimshaw suffered a loss to John Teixeira.
See the cuts in his face?
Did not see him.
Oh, man.
Bad.
Oh.
Get elbowed up.
Stitched across the top of his eye, underneath there.
And he's quite a handsome man as
well. Oh, he's not handsome anymore, mate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it very bad?
Oh, it was nasty, the stitches, yeah. I saw the stitch job today.
Fuck.
Really bad. Really
bad.
Oh,
man. Well, look, we get on with our second interview of the day?
Yeah, I think we have to mention, just obviously Adam Barrett, as you said, unbelievable performance. Stop and Pat
Kern. Oh, yeah, sorry. I only referenced that quickly.
For the first time in Pat Kern's long and illustrious career, this guy is a fucking savage as well.
And another flying knee, man. How does he keep whacking this on people? Like, that's like third in Bellator in four fights.
It's unbelievable. Skinned him on the side of the head, sort of four got him fights. In the temple, fell to the ground, and just the really impressive thing about that for me again was for such a young guy to not like literally rush in. He picked his shots really well on the ground, got the stoppage, unbelievable performance. And we have to say Emmanuel Sanchez as well, really, really good against Tymon Claxton. Overcame a bit of adversity in the first round, really comfortable again off his back, got in a triangle choke at the end of the second round to advance also in the tournament. I really enjoyed the featherweight.
And Daniel Strauss didn't get the win.
Didn't, and it looked like a shoulder. It could be popped out again. I think it could be actually in relation to the motorcycle incident they were saying on the broadcast. So, a tough one for Daniel Strauss, you know.
Nothing but respect for Strauss.
Nothing but respect for a guy who's literally had to learn to walk again. Incredible competitor and athlete. But listen, I just hope I hope everything's all right for him and his injuries.
Now, well, let's get on with this, the second interview of the day. It is the Bellator 227 main event fighter. He will be taking on James Gallagher. It is Cal Elanor, and great to speak to this guy, and great to see him doing so many media rounds in Ireland here.
He's in Ireland, yeah.
Oh, he was doing everything. He was Virgin Media, he was talking to everyone. So, look, great to see this guy getting his name out there, making this event, forcing the narrative against James Gallagher. He certainly is, and, you know, after speaking to him, you can feel how confident he is, you can feel he wants that big upset. And I'm looking forward to even more after talking to him. So we'll talk to Cal now, and we'll be back in about 10 minutes. And now we are joined by the man who is coming to Dublin to take out one of the prodigal sons of MMA in this country. He's in Ireland today doing the media rounds, and I've been lucky enough to snare a few minutes with him. It's Mr. Cal Elanor, Cal Pacino, as he's known in the business. How are you, sir? And how is today going for you?
Today is going awesome, mate. I'm great. Got some really good training at East Coast last night. Me and Alistair Younger just came out here and just lapping it up, mate. It's awesome. Met some cool people today. Just seeing the arena where I'm about to fight. It's everything's going great.
You were out in East Coast Jiu-Jitsu with Daryl Connell, were you? Is that how was the reception there? Was anyone trying to cut you or anything like that? Trying to throw a few sly elbows into you or anything?
Funnily enough, I got a cut under my eye last night from an elbow, but nah, that was an accident. It's only a small thing. My grappling coach, Ellis at Northeast Jiu-Jitsu, I was younger, he's affiliated with East Coast, so we come out here to train sometimes. I was out here a few weeks back, and then back out here now, and then back out here fight week, getting to train with Dara and stuff, so it's awesome. The reception's great. Like, obviously, all the lads there, super cool, and some killers on the mat, you know, so it's a really good training, so it's always good to come back out here and train.
Yes, they're really putting Irish Jiu-Jitsu on the international map, it has to be said. A great bunch of lads there in Monkstown. But I suppose we have bigger things to talk about here, Cal, because you are taking on one of the most polarizing figures in mixed martial arts, James Gallagher, at the end of this month in the Three Arena. Now, I saw a video you did with my great friends, Raptors MMA, and it's fantastic. I saw you speaking about the fact that you're coming onto Irish soil, and you're really embracing that. Even before this fight was booked, I was saying it should be booked. I thought your win over Nathan Grayson was a fight that showed everyone how elite you are, and now we're finally here. But how good was it initially to get that call and say, you've got this fight, Cal?
It was great, you know, it's finally people are starting to realise that I'm to be taken seriously, you know, like I feel like in the past, like people's mentioned me and, you know, kind of disregarded my skill sets because they've not really watched much of my footage or seen many of my fights, but I feel like finally, like it's getting to the point now where people actually are taking notice and thinking like, actually, you know what, like this kid is good, you know, like obviously you can see like all round, I think I bring good attributes, you know, I feel like my striking's good, my wrestling's good, my grappling's good, and I feel like as far as like hard goes, I feel like I'm tough as old boots, and people see that and I've got no quitting, and that's why I feel like now people are starting to finally get behind us and build us up a bit, you know, because I feel like people are starting to realise like I'm actually a good fighter, and it's regards as like the fight coming, I kind of always seen it happening, but I kind of always at the same time thought that it would maybe give James easier fight, whereas now I feel like I'm getting the recognition I deserve, and it's the sensible fight to make, as you said yourself, you know, realistically I know I've got two losses on my record, but I only have one really, and it's the same as James, he's 9-1 and both finishing fights in Bellator, so it was the perfect domestic fight to make, you know, in Europe, in Bellator Europe, you know what I mean, it's the fight that made sense, so it's great to finally see that they've used their heads and did it, you know, and put this fight together. I feel like it's going to be an amazing one. And we're both kind of like to do similar stuff, and we're both gaming, you know, and we're both talking up and stuff like that. So it's going to be a fantastic fight, and it's going to be a great event to be fighting on, and especially main event on. I can't wait to just dare up and get it done now. It's all I'm thinking about, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, when I think about you, you know, as an opponent and... you know, I think about the fact that you've been over there in South Africa. Like, I mean, you are no stranger to going into people's backyards, right? I mean, this is a thing that you've kind of built your career on.
Yeah, that's it. Like, fighting in these hostile environments, I just feel it brings out the best in me. Like, I feel like these are the fights I want to be involved in, you know? I feel like it's about being out of your comfort zone. Like, fighting's wild anyway, so what's more crazy than going having a full-on fist fight with someone? So it's like, it doesn't matter where it is, you know, like this is what I live for, and these memorable nights in these crazy environments is what I want my career to be based on. I just want to fight the best people in the most hostile environments ever and just build a legacy on that. And they're coming to Dublin now when it's going to be sold out and stuff like that, and walking out and seeing that pretty much everybody there is wanting me to lose, it's just going to make us want to win even more. So it's just like, and I've got zero pressure on my shoulders here, because a lot of people who don't even know who I am or calling as a bum or calling as a journeyman, like, I haven't got a clue. Like, if you take the time to watch one of my fights, you'll see I'm far from it, and you'll see that I've got zero quitting, and that's why I just feel like there's no pressure on me at all. Like, everyone's expecting him to win anyway, so I'm just going to come here and have a dog fight with him, and I just definitely see myself winning it and putting him away. So it's going to be a memorable night for me for sure, one that I'll remember forever.
You know, you mentioned that there, and that's something that I don't really hear it from people who know the sport, people who are involved in the sport, but certainly, you know, the Twitter trolls kind of came out when this fight was announced, like, oh, Cal is a can. Now, we know that's far from the truth, and most of the coaches, most of the fighters in the game know that's not the truth. But how is that? Like, I mean, it's a whole new level, right? I mean, you're over in Ireland doing all these TV spots. You're getting trolls coming at you probably in a more serious volume than ever. Is it a new kind of thing? Like, is it a bit of a weird feeling?
That's kind of it comes with the territory, you know. Like, I feel like it's what you've got to expect. Like, if you put yourself out there, the more you get promoted, the more people don't want to see it, you know. Like, you see people doing good things, and there's always going to be bitter, sour little people who couldn't dream of actually putting it all on the line themselves. So when they see people actually doing it, they hate it, you know. They hate people doing well. People who've got their own insecurities and their own problems in life just want to shut other people down who's trying to make something of themselves. So it's to be expected. Like, their comments don't bother me in the slightest. In fact, I actually like enjoy them getting them, because it just means that I'm doing something right, and it's building, you know, like, it builds my name even more. Like, the more people who see my bum and that, the more it's even less pressure on me, and the more that when I do go there and fight and people see how wild I am and how much of a rough fight I do bring, then they're going to see, like, it's just going to promote me even more. So let them think and let them see what they want, you know. Like, they didn't all see that, but when the fight's done, they'll see. So I'm not really bothered about it in the slightest. All it's doing is just fueling my fight. I want to make us want to win even more. So I just can't wait to just have even fight now.
It's a big one as far as I'm concerned. Like, I mean, the level of attention James's name alone brings to a fight. You know, do you see this as the one that's going to put you on the map internationally, is basically what I'm trying to ask. Like, I feel like Ricky Bandeja's got a huge shot after he beat James and he handed him his first career loss. But as you kind of said in that in the Raptors documentary, this one's even sweeter, right? Because you get to go into Dublin. That would be a huge international story if this was to happen, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, he completely, just completely misread the way I was seeing that. And James has put that out there as if I'm accepting defeat by being real and seeing that in a two-horse race, one can win and one can lose. But that's the way it is. It's fighting, you know, like, it happens. Like, I'm not coming here to lose at all. In my thing, I was just saying, like, at the end of the day, I'm winning regardless, just because I'm here. Look, I'm main eventing a huge card with some superstars on. That's what I meant by that. But if he thinks I'm coming here to lose, then let him think that. That's, you know what I mean? It's going to make him be even more, you know, not even training, you know, the way he should be. Like, let him think that. Let him think I'm going to be an easy fight, and it makes my job on the night even easier. But yeah, definitely, that's it. Like, if I win this fight, like, it's going to propel my career to levels that I've never known, you know, and it's where I believe I should be anyway. So that's why I've always wanted this fight. That's why I've called them out for so long and messaged Bellator and the matchmakers and stuff like that continuously, just all the time since the Nathan Grayson fight, because I know stylistically, like, I can bring trouble to James's, and I definitely think I can beat him. So it's like, why wouldn't I want that fight, you know, the chance to elevate my career like that after just one fight? Like, at the end of the day, it's just 3 5-minute rounds. Like, who cares? Like, I'll fight anybody, any bantamweight on the planet, and like, it's just a fight at the end of the day, and I definitely see myself winning it. So why wouldn't I want to take that chance? And how sweet would it be to beat him here? Like, I'm going to be walking out there to a sold-out arena and to a full thing of people who's wanting me to lose. There's like, if I win there, that's 15,000 people who know who I am instantly, and that's not without the live stream or whatever, or live on television and stuff like that. So it's a massive, massive, like, career, massive move. Yeah, huge move in my career in the right direction. So why wouldn't I want that? You know what I mean? Like, it's what I've dreamed about my whole life. So I'm just coming here and I'm coming to win. So can't wait.
Does it make it easier when, you know, a lot of people don't like this guy? Like, I mean, you've mentioned it there yourself. You and him are kind of having a back and forth at the moment. Does that make it even better for you? The fact that, you know, there is a bit of bad blood here going into this fight. And will that make it sweeter again?
Yeah, definitely. Like, especially someone who's, like, as you know yourself, like, I'm always, like, a respectful kind of fighter. You know, I've never really got much to really say in regards of, like, disrespecting anyone like that. But at the same time, like, James disrespects me. He's saying, like, this, that and the other, and he's disregarding my skill set. So yeah, it's definitely going to be even sweeter to get to go in there and put him away. Especially, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, people have problems with work colleagues. That's what James is at the end of the day. He's a work colleague. It's just amazing for me that I can get to go in there and punch him in the head, you know. So it's like, it's fantastic, you know. Just, and it's going to be fun, you know. So the build-up, the whole build-up is going to be fun, and it's just going to be one of them things that I remember forever. So, like, it's, you know what I mean? I'm just buzzing for it.
Just finally, Cal, like, how do you see this one finishing? Like, I'm sure you, like a lot of fighters, you know, visualize how a fight can happen, visualize the bad spots, visualize the good spots. What do you think is the most likely way this kind of goes, this fight?
I just see me bringing a disgusting fight to James, one that he's not going to enjoy at all. When he realizes that I'm not going to quit, that's when he's going to break. And whether it comes by knockout or submission, it's going to come. But I just don't see me, I don't see it going the distance. I do see me putting him away in one of them fashions, you know. I don't see this going at the end at all. Like, I feel like I will either bang him out or I'll catch his neck or something and choke him. And either way, I'll be happy. Like, regardless, I'm just coming to win. I'm not coming for any decisions. I've had decisions go against me before when I've won in someone's backyard, and I'm not letting that happen here. So it's kill or be killed. And I just say me putting him away, mate.
Cal, I am even more excited about this fight after speaking to you. I've never heard someone describe something as they're going to put on a disgusting display, but that's made me very excited, I must say, my friend. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Dublin. I can't wait for the fight, and thank you so much for getting onto us and having a word.
Oh, thanks for your time, mate. I really appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
We'll talk again in a couple of weeks' time, my friend. And thank you very much to Cal Eleanor. Really, really looking forward to that fight, man.
What a name.
Yeah, it's a really cool name, man. It sounds like a movie star or something.
It's not quite on the level of Niall McGrath, but we'll...
It's not Niall McGrath,
you know,
no.
Yeah.
Definitely. I have a shit name. Peter Carroll is just so bog standard.
It's like John Smith.
Yeah, it really is. It could be like... I don't know.
John
librarian. Peter Carroll.
Librarian. Or like Jesus Christ. Know,
the local copper.
The amount of books that would go missing if you're a librarian. You sell the back of a van. You're dying. The flight. It's those airplanes. They're disgusting.
Oh, man.
I tell you, they ruin you.
Man, I was sitting beside two women on the way home, and they need to go to the bathroom every 10 seconds.
Oh, nothing worse.
The last one, like, she's leaving, and she's like, 20 minutes left on the flight. She's like, this is the last time, I promise. Well, you've done it 16 times over the last 8 hours, so I mean.
Christ. Nothing worse.
Oh, I was ready to kill.
Should have kicked her.
I think I had all this pent up rage.
Should have kicked her.
Yeah, I got all this pent-up rage, but I didn't do anything with it. Then I got home and I couldn't watch Cage Warriors, and I had a full-blown meltdown.
I'll tell you what happened. I was similar to that before.
I just rang you and shouted down the phone for like 3 minutes and hung up, I think.
I was coming back from Vegas. I think it was Maymac, and there was this guy kept standing up behind me and, you know, putting the hand in the seat, and I had three seats.
Oh, I hate that.
Right? And I went,
you're
speaking Italian. Yeah. And this is like after a good 2 hours of me, literally, as you said, you're about to knocking off and you get woken up. It's so fucking annoying when you're absolutely shattered. Like, yeah. Probably an hour of sleep in 2 days. And I just went, are you fucking, could you please stop fucking me? And he was like, Italian. And I was like, I'll just fucking sit there, get your hand off my seat. I went nuts.
What did he say in Italian, sorry?
He was like, I don't know what he was saying. Like, and I was just going, sit down, mate. I'll fucking end this right here, right now. And it could have got messy, but
Did he leave your seat alone then?
I'm getting angry even thinking about
it. Did he leave your seat alone after that?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Well, then happy
yeah,
days.
Job done, so it's fine.
Right, I guess we look at the UFC card first. Monstrous main event. Do you feel like Justin Gaethje is kind of, he feels like if he wins this fight, he could potentially be on that McGregor?
Yeah, well, I think he is, because
Conor's running out of options here.
Yeah, that's as we said a few minutes ago on the show, and there is very lack of options for Mr. McGregor. And potentially the winner of this fight is probably going to fight Conor, in my opinion, because you're ruling out Ferguson,
ruling out Masvidal, ruling out
Diaz, unless you're going to look back someone further.
Yeah, Ferguson and Khabib has to happen, but I did get some feelings that, like, in that press conference, like, Dana White wasn't, like, he was leaving a little caveat at the end, like,
for McGregor.
If Tony accepts it and all.
That's what annoys me. Like, I tweeted that out as well, and, like, I go, no, fuck this shit. You're not going after the money fight again here. This has already been a black mark in the sport, as far as I'm concerned, with Tony Ferguson not getting
a lot of people agree
fight.
With you. A lot of people agree
with you. It's a piss take, man. And, you know, to a certain extent, we haven't mentioned his name today, but Colby Covington, the same thing sort of seems to be happening with Usman. Apparently Usman was a big part of the negotiations, that fight not coming through.
We were
from
told
what we believe.
Usman was a guest fighter in Abu Dhabi. Yeah, that's what we were told, yeah. It wasn't officially, by the UFC didn't tell us around, but that's what we were told.
That was the line, yeah. That's the word that went around. And then Colby said to Ariel today on Ariel's show that there's been a little bit of a falling out, he believes, between Usman and Ali Abdelaziz's agent. I don't know how much you're going to read into that from what Colby says, but it's another interesting little bit of narrative going into this I feel, but you know, Colby does have to be that. Like, I don't want Colby to turn into the Tony Ferguson of the lightweight division, where we see
of the welterweight division,
of the welterweight division, should I say, and have this prolonged period of time where he's not going to get a title shot. So
right, well, I mean, so Cerrone and Gaethje, who do you feel will come out with that one?
I think you have to look at Gaethje here. Same in this here, one. Yeah. It's just the forward pressure, how good his leg kicks are. He
excellent
matches
takedown
up,
defense.
Excellent takedown defense. He's a really good wrestler, obviously, as well. There's too many areas there that he's going to trouble Cowboy, and I think, especially, you know, the kickboxing range as well, with those leg kicks as well, it's not going to be as much of an issue for him. Even if he has to stay at range for certain periods of the fight, he can get inside, he can box, and he can do a lot of damage. And that's been always been a problem for Cowboy Cerrone, you know, when he's on the back foot and guys breathing down on him. So I will favour Justin Gaethje. I think he's going to get the finish. Peter Carroll's nearly falling asleep
here. I can't believe that. I literally dozed it.
Am I that boring? Fucking hell.
No, it's nothing to do with you, man.
I'm joking. I know. But I do really, really fancy Justin Gaethje to win this one.
Nikita Krylov is back. I love this guy. He got back to winning ways after a bad start.
The minor.
But Glover Teixeira is no easy out, man. No easy out there.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Like, I felt
fights.
Like Krylov, when he was going to come back and he fought Jan, I was like, oh, this is a big way to make a statement. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Jan is criminally underrated, though, but. Yeah.
That fight apparently fell out with John Jones as well, the negotiations for that one.
That was meant they were looking at MSG for that.
Yes, they were indeed. So that's not happening, apparently. And listen, yeah, it's one of those fights, grand. It's a decent fight. It's a good fight. You know, two gatekeepers. They're never going to be world champions.
Let's have a look down then for more Europeans.
Todd Duffy's first fight in 4 years. Looking American. Forward to seeing him back.
Misha Serkinov from Latvia, right?
Yeah.
Latvia.
Canadian Latvia. Yeah.
Look, Latvia.
Okay.
It's Latvia, mate. He's going in against Jimmy Crute. Yeah, who we saw taking on Paul Craig before. I think that's a tough match for Crute, to be honest. But if he got the win there, be huge. Marcin Tybura also takes on Augusto Sakai. See any other Europeans there? Marvin Vettori, of course, against Andrew Sanchez. Vettori looked very good in his fight back after that Usada ban.
He did, yeah.
I think he's very underrated too, to be honest. Yeah. He fought Stoilbender very well.
He did, indeed.
That's all the Europeans on that card. So let's take a look at KSW 50. I love this card. Of course I do. Four title fights. I mean, KSW madness. Absolutely savage. Phil DeFries and Luis Enrique. I mean, if Phil beats Luis, which I feel he will, like, basically there's the Grabowski fight there, and then he's going to have to start going back to the guys he's already beaten.
Yeah, so
if he does this,
Ryzen, get involved.
Ryzen or Bellator or something, man. Like, the guy is in a new vein. He is absolutely looking savage now. And he has this new confidence, a new mindset. Really can't wait for it. Saulich and Kinkel. That's a competitive fight, but I still feel as though Saulich is just an animal.
He's a fucking beast, man.
Yeah.
And then Norman Park.
Yeah, but there's Thomas Narkoon as well for the 205 title against Maciala. And yeah, Norman Park, man, if he got that belt on.
That's a big one.
Imagine him, how the shit he's going to talk to Gamer if he wins this, man. Oh, he's going to be straight onto Gamer.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus Christ, that would be a great fight. Like,
I mean, and I think we need to get a definitive, you know, climax of this trilogy between the two. And I think it'd be great if Norman did win that.
I think the fact that Marcin Wojcik usually fights at 45, I feel like Norman, it's not the type of guy you want to be coming up in weight to fight, because Norman's huge, man.
Norman's like an Irish Khabib. He can just like, when you're up against the cage against him, and he's just such a nightmare to deal with, isn't he? He's just relentless, man. And
this could be a big one for him, man. Yeah, really, really big one.
I think it is.
And Damian Janikowski, if you don't know, he's a famous wrestler over there, and he has fought the hardest fights. Like, I mean, he's been topping, like, fighting top of the food chain. That's what KSW do. You're not getting an easy fight there.
Oh, yeah. No.
You are going straight to the lions, mate. And whatever happens, happens.
It's not like Bellator, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to say. Jason Radcliffe on the card as well. You know, but I'm really interested. This is actually quite a thing to watch here. Dricus du Plessis is moving up to... I know he's fought at middleweight. He's won the middleweight title, like, EFC. But if he gets a win here... Dricus, that's a huge fight for Scott Ascom.
Dricus.
That would be a great fight for Scott Ascom, man, because Dricus is a savage. Like, I mean, we're talking about Don Madge and how brilliant he's going to be for South Africa. Dricus is another guy. He was huge in South Africa.
Yeah, there's definitely the names are coming through from South Africa, and I think it's great to see. And it's like an invasion.
Shaheen Al-Shadi told me an interesting stat there while we were over there. He was talking about Don Madge. He did a great feature on Don Madge for The Athletic, talking about his modelling career and stuff, which Don Madge hates speaking about, by the way. Hates it.
Yeah, no, Don's one, he's like sort of,
he's
reluctantly handsome.
Yeah, he's reluctantly handsome. He sort of wears the nail polish and the hands at times of the dark stuff. And but
like myself, reluctantly handsome.
He is a phenomenal story behind him. He lived in Thailand for like 3 years, and yeah, he actually fought to eat. That's how broke the guy was. Yeah, crazy story.
But he had like 100 fights and he lost 4.
Yeah,
as a foreigner going to Thailand, that's insane.
And if anyone has never seen his fights in the UFC, there's two that he actually lost to Leon Meinhardt, I think it is. They were just that's how I got on the Don Madge bandwagon long time ago.
I'll check them out. I didn't
remember watching them. Brilliant fights to watch. So guys, I think they're on YouTube, so you get them up there.
It's also the return of Catherine Costigan.
Yeah, Catherine. Yeah. She's back after
the alpha female.
God, I couldn't tell you the last time Catherine fought. It's a long time. She obviously had spinal fusion surgery and things like that going on, but it's a long time since we've seen Catherine.
Putting Limerick on the map, yo.
That's it. And it's great to see her back, but you know, that time out, you know,
2.5 years.
What's she going to be like? You know, that
39 years of age.
Yeah, so it's going to be a tough one, I feel, for Catherine, but you have to admire her resilience and desire to get back
absolutely,
in there.
Absolutely, man.
She's a testament. She's done great things down there in Pancration MMA in Limerick for the development of, especially,
absolutely. She works so much with kids as well,
martial
man.
Arts and the young girl she has down there. It's amazing what she's done. So I wish her the best. I think it's what, I think it was Cage Warriors. Is that
Cage
right?
Warriors 81, the last time she fought.
Yeah, so a long time ago, but looking forward to seeing that one as well. I'll be tuning in this weekend. It's the right card.
Right, can I go to bed now? I am dying.
I have
to go and drop the car at Elaine's house and then walk back to my house, which is...
Where's Reggie, by the way?
He's in Elaine's.
Oh, God.
No, I'm getting him back tomorrow. It's joint custody, man. It's joint custody. But I am dying.
What are you going to do with me? Your other adopted son. Your real adopted son.
You're going to come and sleep in the bed with me. Sake, you're going to be my new cuddle partner. But I'm hanging on by a thread here, lads.
All right.
Thanks to Niall McGrath for basically pulling me through this episode this week. He dragged me.
Great week of work, Petey. Fair play to you, buddy.
Oh, thanks, man. Well. But like, it's all Casey and Esther, man. They are absolute. I can't tell you. Like, I mean, anyone could have done my job this week. I'm not even messing. You could have went in and done the exactly same thing. It's just, they're just unbelievable.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Obviously, you know.
We know them years. Like, they're OGs. Like, and I was so nervous, man. Because I was like, what if I'm just shit, like, and I just haven't found out yet? Because they're going to know.
Yeah.
They've worked with all the best, and they're just going to know really quick. And the confidence they gave me, not like, they weren't like, you know, oh, you're amazing, any of this, but you could tell they were like, you can do it, like, you know.
I think, it's very important when you have people around you, you're confident in them, and you know how good their product's going to be, so.
Yeah, I was like, nervous. It was unbelievable. And, like, you don't, like, Casey is like, before you interview someone, he might just say to you like, oh, it'd be funny if you asked them. And they were always, every time I did it, it was like the biggest hitter. Like, he said to me in like the Paul Felder thing, he goes, maybe just ask him if he thinks like other commentators are shitty sometimes. And that's what I asked him at the end, and it was like the funniest part of the whole interview. He's like, Joe Rogan. But look, it was an absolute pleasure. I'm just destroyed and I need to go back and sleep for 3 days and somehow get internet working in my house. So, pretty tired. Well, I actually nearly fell asleep there.
Like, I know, you literally did.
I did one of them things, them jumpy things.
Yeah, they're the worst of the jumpy things. Yeah.
I'm having a day of them.
But listen, bitches, lots on this weekend. Check them out. Peachy's fallen asleep. KSW, we've UFC, Gaethje versus Cowboy, which is going to be a cracker. I'm not going to be staying up late to watch it this weekend because I had too much MMA action. PT's not going to be watching it.
I will watch it because I'm a sick
We're going
to
bullshit our way through next Monday, so go fuck yourselves. Wrap it up there, Pete.
Thanks so much, everybody. I love yous. Here's a big kiss.